cliffcentral.com.
I'm way too good to you. You take my love for granted.
Uh-huh.
I just don't understand.
Why?
No, I'm too good to you.
That's right.
I'm way too good to you.
Mm-hmm.
You take my love for granted.
Why?
I just don't understand.
All right, welcome to it. It is the weekly mashup with myself, Dimitri Masha. I almost called myself Candace Mama. And of course, the stunning... you didn't change your hair this week, so I can't say anything about that.
You know what? I'm tired of changing my
hair. Iron Maiden chick.
Brutal. It's actually brutal today.
Are you rocker chick today?
I'm always rocker chick. It's just like degrees.
All right.
Degrees
I noticed that you're wearing your smart glasses today.
I am.
Are you somewhat of an intellectual? Are you going to school today?
Oh, excuse me. Like, are you saying this is dress up?
this is actually like you're wearing a costume. Who did you come as today?
It's different degrees of myself.
Oh, okay.
It's, like, you know what? My
like
fashion.
The rocker version.
No, you know what? My fashion actually displays the different variety of my personality. Yeah. Sometimes I want to be elegant and classy and a lady. And then sometimes I just want to rock the F out and be like, you know what? Screw it.
Okay,
that's just what I'm doing.
A lady.
So today is not a lady day. Today's just like, screw it. Let's rock. And obviously with the trending topic on Twitter, I had to just feel like, you know, empowered.
Talk to me about that. What is the trending topic?
Number three. It's number three in South Africa and it's called Men Are Trash.
Men are trash.
Men are trash.
Topic?
You know what? It's
ladies.
Because,
what's going
okay,
on?
There are two incidents that happened over the past 2 days that make this a trending topic.
Please.
Incident number one is the lady who almost crashed our economy, Miss Butlem Khize, who was just coming out with Side Chick Files, baby. Side Chick Files.
So hang on. Who's Butlem Khize?
Have you been sleeping under a rock? So basically, Butlem Khize is my Lucy Gigaba's former side chick.
She's back?
Oh, is she back?
No!
She came back with a dictionary.
This is the side chick never leaves.
Oh, no. She created a Twitter account. She got like 300,000 followers overnight because she was just bringing
How
out
many?
Files. 300,000. She followed zero. She actually followed two. My Lucy Gigaba and Norma Gigaba.
Okay,
and
wait,
then they
wait,
blocked
wait,
her.
Wait, wait. I just want to talk
she
about
was
this
like,
for
it's a
second.
Family,
I
man.
I want to talk about this for a second because it's not fair.
Okay, let's
I just
go.
Feel like it's wrong. Look,
what's
it's
wrong about
over
it?
Now. She's married to some other dude.
No, no. The only reason she came out is because Norma called her a prostitute in an interview on ENCA.
Now, recently.
Like, the other day.
When Norma was also talking about...
her tender...
No, how she helps... Well, she was helping Melusi with creating IDs
and
passports.
And finance. She said, I told my husband that the rand has fallen, but it will rise. Ha.
I'll just pick it up again.
We'll just pick it up again like money bags at the Saxon.
So why is she starting a war? Like, Melusi is probably sitting there going, babe, please, stop. Babe.
You know, so after Butlem Khize caught wind of the fact that she was called a prostitute, she felt the need to defend herself.
Of
and
she
said,
would. You
of course.
You don't start, you know, don't I mean, start nothing and there won't be nothing.
And I mean, especially since while Lucy seems to be loose with his lips on his side chick's chest, he was just dishing the damn business. So she came out and she was like, look, Miss Homo Na Lady, which was very sad and very
she
mean.
She called her Miss Homo Na Lady.
And then she said, and then she
shots fired.
No, that's not even the shots that were fired.
Uh-huh.
That's still like the minimum. I'm talking about like entry level ish.
Yeah.
So then she went on to say, look, you know, I was keeping your home alive. Don't come for me. Like, your husband told me you didn't even have a matric certificate, but you want to tell me about, you know, you want to tell me you're an IT specialist when you don't even have a matric certificate, lady. Like, listen, your husband told me that you could not finish school. Your husband told me. And then she was just dishing the damn business. And then she.
Your husband told me.
That you don't even have a matric certificate. So I don't even know how you became an IT specialist.
So how. How does Malusi go back and...
You know what's
and,
funny? All yeah. I was thinking was, like, Malusi was real comfortable. Like, to be dishing the shit. He was so comfortable.
Yeah. He was like, in that side chick in every way. He was just like, I am really thinking of just leaving my wife and you and I are going to be friends. Can you believe what she did? She hasn't even finished her trick and she's giving me all the heat.
Dude.
And, you know,
she wanted to tell
nice,
me.
She, you know?
And then she said to the haters who say that she's trying to steal Malusi, she's like, I don't know if you guys have met Norma Gigaba, but she's not the kind of woman that you steal a man from. She will hang on. You can have 10 kids with them and she'll be like, as long as he's married to me,
that's
I'm signing no divorce.
Said.
Yeah. She was like, said. She was like, Norma's so married to the title of Mr. Finance Minister, Mr. Future President, that she's not letting him go.
Look, I mean, we can't hate on Norma for just being like a real wife, for being a G.
That's not being
this,
a real
you know
wife.
I mean?
That's just being married
G
to the title.
Look,
she's like
10
kids,
sure.
I don't give a damn. He coming home to me, baby.
Who Yeah.
You know, so
okay.
That was the juice.
So that's what started this
whole topic.
That's
what started
men
the
are
men
trash.
Are trash. And then it was like, you know, all the men in Joburg running away from their side chicks. No, because that's only number one. Okay.
Oh, okay. There's
and
more.
Then number two, this is not as entertaining or as funny.
I don't know what I'm doing on Twitter because I go on Twitter every day, but I don't see this stuff.
I don't know what you're missing.
I think I'm following the wrong people.
No, but then the second
the people
one.
I'm following are too decent. Stop being so decent. If I'm following you, like, put
for
something
goodness
there.
Sake, put, give me some entertainment. No, yeah. But then the second part is actually very tragic. A young lady went missing a while back. And, you know, everyone was sending out pamphlets like, you know, please help find this young lady. And then yesterday it was discovered that her boyfriend actually burnt or, like, killed her in a very brutal way. I don't remember the details of how he killed her. He killed her and he disposed of the body pretty much. And so we found this out yesterday because this guy went on living his life like nothing happened. Like, oh, she's missing. I ain't never seen her. I don't know where she is. And then we discovered that he killed her, the bastard.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Manangi.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Manangi.
Yes. May she rest in peace. So that's the other thing that actually aggravated this men is trash movement. That
all right, I don't agree with the men are trash.
No, that's a trashy thing to do, though.
But it's a very trashy thing to do.
No, but I don't
man is definitely trash. I mean, this guy needs to be found as soon as possible and brought to justice.
Oh,
you know, like as soon as possible, which is like yesterday.
I always said I could never be a lawyer because I feel like I'd become a vigilante. Like, if it doesn't go my way, I just start killing people. Like, I just thoughts. Be like, you know what?
And then you meet a particularly tough criminal who kicks your ass.
No. I'd be the statting. How can they kick my ass if I'm the starring of this movie?
Oh, it's a movie. Sorry,
no, in my
life.
Head. No, in my head.
Oh,
it's
in
a
your
movie.
Head.
I'm the starring in my head.
Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. What a way to start the show.
It's so funny, right? Because what we had planned to talk about, it actually kind of ties in now. Like I ain't never been a problem. Men are just trash.
Yeah. Well, you know, stick around because later on we're going to be talking to Mrs. Innocent Sadiki. You might know her as Togo. She's on Scheme Sam. And she's one half of the Scent Twins. Yes. And she plays a character who has been beaten up by her
my
husband
man.
On TV. Not her husband, her real husband is the pastor.
Yo,
so you see,
you're not helping.
It's quite a contrast. Her real husband
is amazing.
And then her TV husband is...
So half
is
of them say men are trash.
Trash.
The other half is like, ish.
Yeah.
But are not all men.
Mm. Only when I'm 18. Okay. All right, so that's coming up later. We're going to carry on with
that.
But in the meantime, I wanted to talk about a couple of films that I saw recently.
Yeah, you've
that
been
were
watching
amazing.
Movies.
Yeah, I've been watching movies lately because I learn a lot from movies.
Okay.
I learn a lot from books as well. Don't get it twisted.
I love books and TEDx talks.
I also read. I mean, I also watch movies.
More movies than read. But okay.
No, I actually read more books than
whatever.
Watch movies.
Whatever. Last week you said I don't read. So
I said you don't read.
I just had to fire shots.
Oh, okay.
Back.
Well, fire shots.
Back.
It's okay. I mean, I make
damn
movies.
It.
I'm working. When I'm watching a movie, I'm working. I'm working. So I want to watch.
Yes,
I want to
watch,
a movie that's just come out on circuit. It's called The Shack. It's based on the book The Shack, which I had read before.
Oh,
and I'm excited about the book. And it's basically a story about a man who loses his youngest daughter in a tragic incident. You know, they'd gone as a family. The wife was left behind. He'd gone with the kids because the wife was working. Just on a family trip, you know, to a lake.
Okay.
And they were camping. And his two eldest children almost drown in the lake. And his youngest daughter, as he's rescuing his two older children, gets kidnapped and is never found.
Oh, shit.
Eventually they find her little dress covered in blood, and basically they kind of just have to bury that, you know. And it's a couple of years later, and he's struggling to deal with this. I mean,
as any parent should, like,
I mean, can you imagine what's going on in that household?
No, it's crazy.
The two older children must be beating themselves up because they were just canoeing in the lake and they were messing around and they ended up almost drowning. The father had to save them and leave the youngest.
They blame themselves.
I mean, you think to yourself, what would you have done in that situation? Would you just said, older children, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're not even thinking about that possibility.
You don't
at think
your that someone
child.
Would do that.
Yeah, because I mean, you don't think human nature's like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, this guy's obviously dealing with a lot of stuff at that point. And, you know, he's been going to church like we all try to do. But he's struggling with this. Because he's like, if God is so good, why would he let this happen?
Yeah.
I mean, why would, in the midst of me trying to save my two older children, would you allow someone to kidnap my youngest? And we don't even find her. We can't even give her a proper burial.
Yeah.
So what happens is eventually he's called.
Okay.
He gets a letter from this mysterious character called Papa. Because Papa is what the wife and the kids call God.
Oh, okay.
But he notices, because he was busy, like, you know, sweeping snow off the front yard. There were no tracks in the snow.
Mm.
Nonetheless, he passes out for a second, but he wakes up. So it's not like he passed out, because he literally fell. He slipped on the ice and then he hit his head.
Okay.
But he wakes up. He asks his neighbor about what's going on, and then he borrows his neighbor's car and he goes to this shack where they found his daughter.
Yeah.
He takes his neighbor's gun, and on the way there, he almost has an accident. So it looks like he had an accident.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He makes it there.
Okay.
As the story goes. And while he's there, he just finds that there's nothing in the shack, you know?
Mm.
He decides to lie down for a bit because he's really sad. He's coming to grips with this. Yes. He's thinking, was this some prank or something?
Yeah, yeah.
He wakes up, he leaves, and in the midst of this, he sees some Middle Eastern looking guy walking through this part of the forest.
Okay.
And he invites him in. Says, come over for dinner. He's like confused because like he's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And out of curiosity, he follows this guy and he finds two other characters. One, a Chinese lady, and the other, a black lady.
Oh, okay.
You know, who looks like somebody who's, you know, your typical African-American.
Mama. Yeah.
And he realizes, as the story goes, that this might just be God. The other guy, the only guy there, could just be Jesus.
Hmm.
And the Chinese lady could just be the Holy Spirit.
Oh, damn. The Trinity.
The Trinity. Yeah. They're all there. And he kind of goes through this whole thing and he learns, he gets to grips with what happened to his daughter. And he actually finds a body through this whole experience. Hmm. And he gets to grips with he himself judging. So he gets to grips with first judging his father, who was very abusive. He was abusive to him and his mother.
Yeah.
And realizing that even his father had demons that he had to fight because his own father was abused by his father.
Mm.
So when you judge someone who's now abusing you, do you know that maybe he's dealing with some other demons and all he needs is forgiveness and love, you know? And wow, for me, it was just like the kind of story. I mean, I read the book and I loved the book.
Mm.
I felt that the film could have just been emotionally more engaging.
Yes,
it was a little bit too cerebral for me.
Okay.
But what I learned from that is before you judge, always look at people from God's point of view. And what do I mean by that? If we are all God's children, all of us, good and bad, then only God can judge because he knows his children best, right?
Mm.
And he always does. But he always judges from a point of compassion. He's not a God sitting out there waiting to just smack you over the head should you do something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's a God who's waiting to forgive you if only you'll just say, listen, this is what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And I am truly sorry. I'm ready to pay the cost of what I did, how I hurt people. And he will help you through that.
Yeah.
Or she will help you through that in this case, because God was an African-American woman.
Yeah.
And I was like really touched by that movie, man. It was like,
sounds
I don't have lessons, but I just wanted to tell the story.
Well, it sounds like lessons.
I mean, those lessons.
I've picked up a lot of lessons from your story.
One, it's never worth it to walk around with unforgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Because basically, you are not helping yourself and you're not even helping God help you. And also, God is the ultimate judge. So if you're not able to forgive someone, it means you have now tried to take over God's role. But you don't have the whole picture.
But
God always has the whole picture.
In every religion, in every single religion, because I mean, I've gone on the spiritual tour of just, you know, looking and investigating.
You're a religious tourist.
Yeah. I'm a spiritual being. What can I say? I love religion. I think there's so much space for religion in the world. All religions, you know. I think all of us choose sometimes to focus on the bad of every religion instead of taking the good. But I've never come across one religion. And I'm not talking about Satanism, people. Don't go nitpicking.
That's not even a religion.
It's not even a religion. But yeah, so I've never come across one religion that does not preach forgiveness. Forgiveness and love are the two things that every
Isn't
single
that right,
religious
though?
Practice focuses on.
Mm.
And I think that it's because forgiveness is really something for yourself. You can't walk around carrying people's burdens and their crosses, you know, and being defined by all the things that have made that could have made you a terrible person.
Yeah.
You know, you got to forgive and you got to move on and you got to love.
I think it's interesting that you would mention forgiveness and love because you can't have one without
the other.
So you can't say you love someone and not be able to forgive them. And you can't forgive someone and not be able to love them.
Yes.
And ultimately, the two go hand in hand.
Yes.
And once you've been able to forgive someone, you realize that the person you forgave anyway was yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the only person that you always needed to love anyway. And if you can love yourself enough, you can always love others.
Oh, wow, T. I really love that lesson. Well done.
Okay. Well done. Anyway, that brings us to this next part of the conversation where we get to talk with Innocent. How are you doing, Ino?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. So out of words, what's the guy Mammy Lord?
Kiso koti one go west. Ah, yeah, I can eat. I can't. I hate it. I cannot deal with that ghetto language.
What are you talking about?
No. And it's so funny. I only realized that after I moved out of Mammy Lodi and I went back, I'm like, why are these people talking like this?
I love it. Because it's our language. It's for me, it's like my heritage.
It is not,
It's, you know what? It's Sipitori.
Yeah.
And you know what I want to do? I want to actually write a book in Sipitori or something. Because once you've written a book, it becomes a language.
Yes, yes.
You see? So I think that should be
so etch the language into history.
I must etch the language. I feel like God is telling me that I need to do that for all my people because it's the most interesting language ever. But tell us about your background, like growing up in that part of the world. By the way, Candy, if you didn't know, Ino and her twin sister, Millicent.
Yes.
grew up, Milo. Do we call her
Millie, right?
Yeah. So they grew up on the same street where my mother grew up.
Yes. Oh.
Same street.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like it's crazy. And then my good friend, one of my best friends, goes and marries one of them.
Oh, shush.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was a story there. I don't know if I was the best man. I think I was the best man.
You were the best man. He said, I think
I was the best man.
Want the best man to call in and say, by the way, you lied on air. I was the best man. So yeah, I was definitely the best man. Okay, she's confirmed it. Yes. So what was it like growing up in that part of the world, man?
You know what? It was awesome. Mm-hmm. I love everything about my childhood and how I grew up. I was raised by my grandmother. Mm. And my grandfather. So we're raised by my grandparents because my mom passed away when we were 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't have any memories of her except her funeral. I don't know why. It's just the weirdest thing ever. But anyway, I'll deal with that part of my life one day. Mm. And my dad was also never part of our lives. He was 90% of the time he was in prison. The 10% that he was out of prison, he was in hospital in his deathbed.
Oh, wow.
But we had a very amazing, childhood. My grandmother did everything she can to make sure that she gives us the best that we can have. And we went to good schools. You know, she was a teacher. My grandfather was a principal and also had a school. Called Chipa, which is our maiden surname. So, which was great because financially they were able to support us and to help us follow our dreams. I remember when we grew up, we always told my grandmother, we want to be on TV and we want to go to Joburg. We didn't even know where Joburg is. That time in your head, Joburg is like 5 hours away, you know, because everybody makes Joburg seem so far.
Yes, yes.
And we're only in Pretoria.
It's just a magical place.
Yeah, no, it's like
over
one,
the horizon.
And there's lots of lights there and it's so busy and there's a lot of people. And so we've always shared that dream with my grandmother and said, this is what we want to do. This is where we want to go. And, you know, she helped us, you know, achieve that dream, even though it was hard because there's no car, there's no this. My grandmother was like, I am not going to Joburg.
Yeah.
So until we were old enough to catch a taxi and get ourselves an agent and get to Joburg, we're able to do that. And what's interesting enough was that my mom always wanted us to be in the TV industry.
Wow.
And she tried, and apparently we were on some kids show one time and we had an agent and we booked a job, and when they called the landline then, my mom had already went to heaven, and then my grandmother was like, what? I must bring them where? What address? And she was telling us, I tried to write the address down. I didn't even understand what they were saying, so you guys ended up not going. And I was
you know what,
they're going to grow up and they will do this themselves. So later on, when she tells, she's like, when I watch you guys, I'm like, oh my word, I can't believe this is what your mom wanted for you, and you guys ended up in the industry anyway.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. You know, I always, because I also grew up in Pretoria, and I always think that when I was growing up, the idea, Joburg was an idea.
Mm.
Like, it was where everything happened.
Yeah.
The lights were amazing, you know.
Possibilities.
The buildings were taller.
Yes.
And the people seemed freer. I remember riding for the first time in a city metro bus. Because remember, We weren't allowed to ride no metro buses in Pretoria.
I was like, okay, if that's an achievement, then.
The first time I rode in a metro bus was in Joburg. It was like, wow, the black people in Joburg are
liberated. Yeah.
They're liberated. They can ride in white people's buses. Anyway.
Yeah.
But you guys, you know, you grew up in a particular part of Pretoria, Mamelodi.
Yes.
Which actually has a lot of arts and culture and people who are now huge and famous who come from there. Who are some of your icons growing up, either in the area or just in general?
You're so funny. You're one of them. But anyway.
That makes me like, I said growing up. It made me sound so old.
No, I'm like, I know. You're one of them for all of us. You are like Bra Joe.
No, Dumtru is like the closest because, you know, it's someone that you used to see. So, So one is Tumisho because he's always been, you know, very in touch with where he comes from and he's not afraid of townships like most celebrities are. And, you know, everyone comes from Soweto, you know, and here's one person coming from Pretoria, so for that reason and many other great reasons, because you are amazing, you. And also, I remember growing up, we used to watch Felicia Mabuza, and I always used to say, "Lord, can I just have a show like hers?"
Yeah,
you know, because it was a live show, and there was a lot of people screaming and shouting and talking. But the way in which she did it, especially as a woman in the industry, I really loved that, how she could understand normal people and how they speak, and still manage to have different topics that will change people's life. So I really loved her growing up, and many other people in your TV, Mandisa, I'm sure every single young girl was like, I want to be like Mandisa, but it's all just a dream because you wanted to be on TV and they were on TV, so you thought they have arrived, they are the dream. So
that's awesome. And then what were the steps that you took? I mean, I know that you guys have been working at this for a while before we get to where you guys are now, but some of the steps that you took, I mean, I remember you guys used to put up your own shows at the State Theatre in Pretoria. Tell us about some of those things that you were doing.
So what we did is that we started a production company called Who's Who. Who's Who came from the word, people always asked us because we're twins, Who's Who. So we're like, how about we call our production company Who's Who in Jersey?
Okay.
And so that derived from passion and love of the industry. And we said, why don't we go to township, take auditions, get people who are really talented, write a play, produce it and direct it, and go showcase it at the South African State Theatre or UNISA Little Theatre, whatever the case might be. So we used to have like one big production a year. And the first 6 months of the year, it would be rehearsal, it would be this and that. And then, we'd just invite schools would come all the way from Mamelodi and different places, and we'd fill that place up, we'd have about 3 shows a day. And then, we'd broadcast it and we'd write the script. So I would literally write a scene, and then tomorrow I give it to my sister, continue, and she'd continue, and I'd continue. So we wrote a lot of amazing plays. One of them being Who's Who in Jersey, which was a story. We tried to write a story about ourselves, but very different, obviously, because we have to be a little creative. So the one grew up in a, you know, a rich family, the other one grew up somewhere, and both of us were adopted. We met later on in life, where we bumped into each other. I'm like, but you look like me. You know, that whole boring story.
Dude,
it's funny, these things get to people, you know, and it's funny how everyone in the audience knew we're twins, but at the end, when we finally meet, everybody cried, and he was like, but why are you crying? Because you knew we're twins. It's just the story. But that's the beautiful thing about story, you know, it's taking them through the journey and making them believe it, and just the whole transformation, and everybody loves a good ending, and we made sure that we have a good ending, and it's emotional, and it's great. Doesn't matter where you grew up, that one was poor, that one was rich, but we have things that make us the same. We've got things that connect us, and that's okay.
Oh my goodness. Listen, my producer hat right now is saying, can we do a remake, but this time the film version of that? Okay. We're doing the film version of that.
That would work.
I'm buying the rights for that. I can see how that can work. Okay.
No, but what are some of the challenges you guys faced when you came to Joburg? Because I think sometimes, you know, people love focusing on the end result, right?
True.
So they watch you on Scheme Sum and they're like, one day I'm going to be like her.
Yeah.
But then they miss all the little stuff that you guys had to, you know, overcome in order to become who you are. So what are some of those challenges?
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize, or still don't realize, that being in the industry is a profession. Trying to break through or out of that thing of saying, I'm going to work, this is something that I need to invest in, everybody go to school, do this. And yes, we did go to school, you know, know, I'm currently doing my master's at AFDA, and my sister is doing her last year as well at AFDA. Wow. And so we're very invested in that. But before we did this television degrees, I studied advertising management. She did her marketing degree. And that was important for other people. But I always feel like I could have gotten my degree years ago. Now I'm like 30 and I'm busy doing this degree. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And so those are some of the challenges where people don't really understand the direction that you're taking with your life. And we'll always say, yeah, but that's just a hobby. Yeah. That's just the this. Do it on the side, you know.
You'll come back to
You'll
it.
You'll come back to that. Yeah. Just get a profession.
Go be a lawyer.
I tried that, you know. Yeah. I worked for an advertising agency, one of the biggest in the country, and I really enjoyed it and I was really passionate about it. But when you have like a bigger dream inside of you, you always burn until you actually do it. And I made a decision. I'm going to walk out of this place and I'm going to do what I love, and it worked out. And also another challenge, I must say, finances, going to auditions, people don't realize it. Until you get a breakthrough, it's money, it's petrol, it's makeup. You need to look good. You need to look presentable. Wear your high heels. Do this. Drive there. You don't get the job. There's another audition. You don't get the job. There's another audition. You don't get the job. It's so demotivating and discouraging. But you need to know that one day this is going to happen. And just keep focused. Know that, you know what, my time will come, my season will come, and eventually our season came. But yeah, we also had to go through a lot of auditions until we got our first ad in 2012. And then yeah, then things just start coming up because everybody just wants to see that a little experience. I'm like, but give me the experience. You want experience? Yeah. Give it to me, please.
It's like we want 10 years experience. Ha. I'm 18. No, but I love that you're highlighting that this is not a quick fix industry. Mm. And that, you know, when you're going to these auditions, people think that, oh, you're getting you walk in. Oh, okay, great. Let's just quickly. You're spending days in auditions.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people in front of you.
Yo.
And you are sitting there. You've got to come with a book. You've got to come with hydration, with a snack pack.
Shoot. You know? And you have to be super confident, hey, because I tell you, this Joburg girls can intimidate the living daylight out of you. By the time you walk into that audition room, you are like finished. They'll be talking the best English, dressed in the best heels. Yes. Do you know, and you just have to be yourself and know what you have and admire that and sharpen the skill that you have and make sure that you know why you're there. Understand your briefs, read them properly, because when you're starting off, you don't even read your briefs. I've got an audition. Hey, you're there on time. That's all
you focus on the appearance.
No. See, there's more that goes into that. Mm-hmm. The preparation part of it and understanding it, and do you actually fit into that description? You know, I look, I'm like, Lord, why did I even go to 50% of those auditions that had nothing to do with me, you know.
Yes.
But now it's better. As you grow, you learn. And now, even if I don't get a job, I always take out something from each and every audition. It's just the learning experience. Mm. That's all it is.
I love
what you said there, because people do intimidate you on purpose. I remember when I was starting out as well, the guys would sometimes come out and be like, oh, guys, I got that one, hey? That was the kind of thing that we did, you know, like you do that kind of trash talk. I don't know if ladies do that as well.
No, ladies don't do that. They just give you a look.
Yeah, no.
They come out and they just give you that, you know, that like flared nostril.
Yeah. Like, and they'll be talking to the casting director.
And then, like, oh my gosh, good to see
Jenny.
You.
Oh, sorry. Tomorrow I actually have a shoot. And so I actually need to call my agent because, you know, yesterday I came back so late.
That's how you play the game, yo. That's
so
how you play
funny
the game.
How, like, you're so accurate.
And I'm like, so we don't care. It was good for you. We all have shoots and we all have agents who are managing our schedules. Yes. Goodbye, child.
Yes, yes. And, you know, sometimes, like, I mean, I remember I was in a casting. It was actually like a couple of weeks ago, and I get into this casting, and I mean, I knew I fit the brief. I knew because it said edgy, it said, you know, it was me, and I don't have a lot of briefs like that actually fit me. So I go to this audition, and that casting director was brutal. He was like, he called us like 50 girls into the room, and he's like, I don't know why half of you are here because you don't fit the brief. And he's like, you stand there.
Oh no,
you guys get
out. I think
out.
I know
you,
which casting
and I was like,
director
ah,
is.
Yeah.
Which kind of director is this?
I'm not going to name names because I still go to castings. But
but he was so mean. It's sad. I think that's also one of the challenges in the industry. Before you actually break it or make it in this industry,
you're going to be treated well.
That's just how it is. You go in audition, you are like nothing but like, girls, move there, don't do this, don't do that.
And then that's why they call it what? They call it cattle casting. Because you literally, a cattle call, because you're literally like a cattle.
And why do we actually have to stand for that? Why do we have to go through? I remember going to one particular casting where a lady said, but why are you talking to us like that? Can you not just tell us?
Treat us well.
Guys, can you sit there? Can you move from here? Why do you have to scream? What did we do to you?
Well, why do you
treat us like
that?
Like, listen, if you don't want to be here, then you leave. Why did I choose this industry?
And it's so funny because that's this part, right? Like, so you look at Sumisho, right? And you see his lifespan of work. And he's been in the industry for over 20 years. And you're like, oh, it must have been so all of your life
I
you've had it easy.
Well, guys. I right? there.
We all start there.
That's why you hate auditions so much. Like, yeah. And you have an audition. Yeah. Why are you going to? I'm like, excuse me.
I forgot to put money on the table.
I need to work.
And you know, it's funny. You go to castings, right? And then you see well-known faces at those castings. And you're like, shit.
Already.
At your level, you're still coming to castings.
Yeah.
I'm fucked.
That's the thing.
Like, why am I in this industry? Why am I in this industry?
Exactly.
It's not even who's going to choose me. It's like, I still have to do this in 10 years. I'm trying not to do this in 10 years.
That is so true. That is
no,
so
for
true.
For me, though, I have a problem with people in the industry who are still allowing themselves to be treated like that.
Oh, no.
When they've gone to that level. There has to be a point in your life when you decide, I will not do certain things
because it's
anymore.
Demoralizing.
I will just say no.
Yes.
Because and it doesn't help the others who are coming up either. Because
that's true.
Like
they
like
look
what
at you and
you,
you're like, ah.
You're killing other people's hope. Mm. You got to understand that when you're in an industry like this and this is what you're doing, you are also at some point going to be seen as someone who inspires and motivates by what you allow to happen to you and what you
that's
don't allow
true.
To happen to you. And at some point, you know, I think when you have a voice, you got to use it. That's why I've always been outspoken.
Yes.
Because I think that if I don't say something, who will?
Yeah.
So when those people who are known in the industry go to these sort of castings and they get treated like this, especially as black women, and they accept it, how are they helping the next person come in?
They're not.
So true.
Because you look at it as very demoralizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a recognizable face. I'm not like I'm starting out in this industry and I'm getting my bearings, but I mean I remember when I saw one of the recognizable faces in this audition, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. I actually took my stuff and I left. I'm like, you know, number one, no, because I just thought to myself, I was like, number one, the pay's not that great, like, for me to be getting treated like this.
That's
because
the
they were treating us like we
and
had
the pay gets worse every
the
year
pay gets,
I just gotta
like,
tell
it
you
gets terrible.
At some point we just gotta it's say true. We won't work for that.
And you know what's funny, that very casting, the woman didn't get it, but I thought to myself, and I saw the person who got it and I read the brief. I'm like, brief? This person I'm seeing on TV. I was like,
that's
screw
it.
This.
That's another thing. That's another thing. They'll say, we want natural hair, no weaves, no whatever. And then you watch the ad, the person is wearing
the
long
longest weave.
And then you're thinking, really?
They
you made
us.
Me unplait my hair, go to the salon, get my natural hair going, and you don't even cost me. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. But I love what you're saying. I love, love,
I think
love,
they
love.
They already
the
knew they were
going
to cost, but they wanted to get the rest of you out the room. You know what I mean?
No, yes. Because, I mean, it's like the tender process, right?
Yeah.
Let's all tender, but we know who we're taking.
Hey. The struggle
don't come
is real,
in a week,
guys.
But we know they want to get in because the director had specifically said they wanted a week.
No, but you know, it's so funny. In modeling, it's exactly the same. Because I actually want us to get to that conversation that we wanted to talk about. But let me just close it quickly. I went for a Ponds. Ponds casting, and
you
like
said
me but, too.
Yeah,
one day,
right?
One of those
and,
good
and,
days.
And it was like one of the best. You know, it's one of those good castings because they called you based on your Z card, so they already know what you look like. They're already expecting you. So at least you're
was
not
the
waiting
money any
long
good for Ponds these days.
Great, and you got to travel. It was amazing. It was actually
back in the day, it was
like
worth
a big
meals.
Campaign.
No, it's
almost,
an incredible campaign. Like everyone wants to have it. So I went. There were only 10
so
of us.
Ladies, keep buying Ponds.
Yeah,
you are free advertising.
No, I'll tell you why. Because they're just looking after the people who are in the ads.
No. Hold on.
Are they not really?
There were only 10 of us, right? There were 10 of us in this casting. And I mean, then, now this is demoralizing. Shashi Naidu, she owns a modeling agency. Yeah. She comes, one of her girls had the campaign anyway. She walks in, she goes to the director, gives him wine, gives him flowers, she's like, oh my gosh, you know, don't forget dinner at my place, you know, da 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 da.
Are you kidding me?
That girl, the girl who's been getting it, got it again. We were like, you know, fuck this industry.
Yeah.
And I even called my agents. I was
agent
like,
should have brought some
why didn't
flowers.
You bring food?
But
that's
was,
not
your
cool,
agent was
hey?
Useless. I'm sorry,
useless.
Guys.
Useless. Nah. Anyway,
my agent would have brought like
you see, you are complimenting Ponds now before this trash.
I'm telling you, that's
not how you do with Ponds. Sashi did the job as an agent. She's a super agent.
No, she's a great.
Where do I sign up?
Great.
No, we love Ponds. I'm black. I love Ponds.
But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. You are now like I suppose you could say you've made it in many ways because at some point we got to just admit it. You and your sister have a show. On One Gospel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you present. And you also are now the latest star of Scheme Sum. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like life has turned around for you? Things have changed and how have they changed?
It's so funny that when you have it, you don't even feel it anymore. But when you're in the struggle,
so
you're
long.
Like, you know. But it's funny that you asked that question, because only yesterday, the day before yesterday, I was shooting a scene and I was sitting there and I was looking at everyone. The scene was at our house. So this is like almost everyone in the story, because we're having like this big event at our house. And so I just looked at all these people, like, these are people I've been watching on TV since I was young. And I never actually got to take in the moment ever since I've started last year in October. And I just looked at them like, this is actually normal. And I looked at the extras. I'm like, wow, y'all are on the other side. Like, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, I have a number. Like, what's this, you know? And you never actually take it in and appreciate the moment and realize that there's thousands of girls who want to be on a soapy. There's thousands of girls who actually want to have a character name without being called girl one, girl two, girl three. I've been there, do you know what I mean? And actually be taken seriously. And when you walk out, innocent, we've got your script, this is this, here's a schedule, and learning it, all those things, I'm like, this is a good thing. And you appreciate it, but you get so busy and so occupied that you forget about it. And so I don't know. It's just a weird feeling, but it's great. That's I want awesome. More. You know when you have something, you want more and more and more?
As you have to. You have to. You have to keep pushing yourself.
But it must be tough on your sister, because she's been called Togo out there. Like, she can't go buy bread without being...
called you.
Yeah.
For your character.
And she can't say no. It's not her, because it sounds ridiculous. It's like, are you crazy? We see it's you. Why are you trying to pretend it's not you?
With these celebrities.
And the truth is, when you're a normal person, you're only known by a few hundreds of people. Now when you're in TV, you forget you've got millions of viewers. Obviously, it's SABC 1. You've got 6 million viewers and above. And you don't realize how many people actually know you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget, right? Yeah. Sometimes I'm just like myself. Yeah. I'm living my life. And then people just come up. I'm like, whoa. And it just takes me 2 seconds to remember. And I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah. I just wanted to withdraw this 100 rands and this 50 rands. Move on with my life.
You can't have broke people problems anymore. You can't be fighting with a teller for your 2 rand change.
That's the
you
thing.
You gotta let it go. Yeah.
That's the thing. Those are some of the pressures that come along with it. When you go to the parking, people want to know what car you're driving. And it's just all of these peer pressures. Like, guys, you don't automatically win the lottery when you're in a soapy. This
it's
is
like
a work
any
in
other
progress.
Job.
Leave me alone. I've got my own things that I'm working on. And you know what? I hope I don't get consumed in those type of pressures and so forth. But talking about my sister, she does deal with a lot. Luckily, she's also in the industry. Yes, so I suppose it's a good thing for her. She doesn't really care, but sometimes she gets really upset because it's just like, listen, you know, like, I cannot be myself anymore. Like, people want to ask me questions. I don't even know what
look
to say.
Look at what you've done to us.
Yeah.
To us.
Like, that's
and, you know, we never thought about it.
You never thought about it one moment.
People always say, you guys knew it. If one person, I'm like, no, we did ads. Yeah, maybe she was on, like, Gumtree ads. I was on DSTV. I was in different ads. But it's never been to this extent.
I mean, the cool
do you know
thing
what
is,
I mean?
If you get, like, sick or you'd have to leave the
there's
country for something, there's someone who can, like, play your part.
I suppose that's a good thing.
You know, you could go do a Hollywood movie and she could, like, do this for a while and then vice versa. And
yeah,
swap,
I
know. You know?
When she was on radio at some other radio station, I used to do a show all the time. Just trying to remember.
We're not gonna say
sometimes
which radio
I'm like,
station.
Yeah, I know. But it's just a matter of, I had to remember, my name is not Innocent now. My name is Millicent.
Oh, gosh,
that was
that's
the
so
most
crazy.
Tricky part. Because you get so overwhelmed
the
and excited.
Benefits, though, I remember I grew up wishing I was a twin. I'd be like, I wish I had a smarter twin. And then, like, we could tag team, right? Like, for exams, if I didn't study or they study certain things and I study the other, and then we just swap, like, we tag team in.
No, it's amazing. Like, trust me, there's amazing benefits. I mean, look, child.
I
hope all my
fans
ain't listening, but there is some great benefits.
Okay. We won't get into that.
Okay, but
I'm just saying, it's just awesome.
just out of there. Like, dating then. How does dating happen? Because, like, if one of you is,
can I ask
like, how does that work?
Did
like,
your,
as a
could
twin?
Your husbands tell you apart?
Yes.
And at which point could they tell you apart?
You know, what's the funniest thing? You know, they'll never admit it, but they always got it wrong. You know, my husband's sister sometimes just hugs me and talks to me. I'm like, no, I'm not your wife. Ew, don't kiss me. Don't do that. It happens to them all the time. And
God,
even though
awkward.
I know, like, it's so disgusting, but now I make sure that as soon as he walks in, I'm like, listen here, Keith, I am not your wife. Oh, and then, gosh. So it happens
okay,
to them all the time.
Okay, but you guys don't dress alike and have the same hairstyle.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they have the exact same hairstyle. The same time. Like when they cut the hair, they both cut the hair. When they they both have weave.
But how was the dating process? Like, that's what I'm interested in.
That was
like
a disaster.
When y'all were dating and then the guy would come and pick you up and then it's like, you say to your sister, hey, let me finish quick. And then she opens the door. Oh, hi.
You're not ready.
Yeah.
But
you know, that was the sad part, really, because the guys would always tell me they love me and tomorrow they love her. And I'm like, do you even know which one you like? Like, and they would be so confused. They wouldn't even know. Like, no, but I asked you out. No, but I love her. And I'm like, you have no idea. You said you love her. So we went through that. Oh, and that's such a turn off. And immediately would like, no, we down with you, B. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I love that. We down
with you. Yeah, no, we down with you. You can't even make your selection. You don't even know what you like.
But I wasn't even a tea. I was.
Yeah.
When I said it to you, I thought I was saying it to her. And then, like, I'm fucked up. And
but
then,
now that we're older, shame, we understand. But when we were younger, it was just like, what? What?
The insult.
Excuse me.
I've got a mole at the back of my ear. Yeah. Mm. How don't you know I'm the one with the mole at the back of my ear after all this time?
And you were wearing a weave.
And you guys never dated. To twins?
No, never. We've never even desired to date twins. It's so funny.
That would be weird.
You guys have the same taste, though. You guys have the same taste.
No,
in
we
men?
Don't, but people say our husbands look the same.
No, really?
They don't look the same.
Okay, Tim, just because you're friends with my husband, but a lot of people say, both of your husbands are dark in complexion and
can I tell you something? Sometimes people just want to see shit. Like, they'll be like, you'll be walking with a friend and then they'll do a mistake and be like, oh my gosh, you guys are sisters, eh? No. Oh, I see it. But I see it, though. No. No, you don't see it. You wanted to see it.
You wanted to see it.
They don't look alike at all. But you guys did marry two guys who are from the rurals.
Yeah, from the north. It was a plan. Look, we're from Mamelodi and the guys there.
Okay, these guys,
I love my ghetto guys.
But they're green.
It's not a tot. It's from Soweto.
No. They are like the guys from the rural areas who came to Joburg and then we had to teach them how to dress.
Came to Joburg.
They wore too many colors at the same time.
You know what I like about that? You guys had a plan with your life. Because you're like, these Josie guys, they're too all over. They're the Malusi Gigabas of our life.
We
don't need Putem Kizes in our life.
No. These are like guys from, you can trust them. They're rural guys.
Do you know, we never even considered marrying anyone from our township. In fact, in our street, we were the last people to get married in 2010 and probably the first people to get
married in 2010.
Yes. And so in the same street, all our friends, none of them are still married, and the guy, the Nyaupek boys, and they don't care, and Banumbona sister, they don't marry. So it was never part of the plan to get married there. Never.
Oh,
so once I met my husband, I was like, men from the north, okay, the darkness
from
is gonna work for
guys, northwest,
you know. And also, these men get trained, guys, they get trained. So I was like, there's benefits that I will get from this man, hallelujah. I'm sticking to the men of the north. That's what. And I told my sister, I'm like, girl, you better not make a mistake. Go get yourself a man from the north. So that's it.
I love that.
Look, I mean, it worked out for you because, you know, your man's a pastor. In fact, he's the guy I always take.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy, right, he's my good friend. So when I have to go on a trip, an international trip, right, and I want to be good, I've made up, because there's some trips I don't want to be good.
Okay.
I'm just going to put it out there. But if I want to be good.
You wouldn't be human if
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that I can't do this on my own strength.
You need prayer.
I take him with me.
Oh! You don't even need prayer. I'm taking the whole pastor with me.
I'm taking him with me.
That's like traveling with a congregation.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I just need eyes on me all the time.
I can say, Pastor, I'm feeling weak right now. I was at the pool side and I saw something that I need you to pray for me right now.
You know what? I think we all wish we had a traveling pastor or someone.
Yeah, you know,
a traveling morality guide.
Exactly.
When
a
you're
moral
about to
compass.
Just be like,
I don't have one of those angels on my side. I just got, like, what do you think we should do?
You've got a man-sized angel that just goes with you everywhere.
Like, no, you're not having that other drink. Okay. Right,
but I really like that. I like that, you know, you chose someone that you knew because you had a vision for your life. You understood that these guys, because guys are smooth talkers, man.
Yeah,
Joburg,
that's true.
Men will play you.
Yeah.
They'll have you like on a little trumpet string and you're like,
that's
I'm
true.
The only one.
Yeah, no.
And then 10 other
women.
I had
to choose someone that loves me. I made a decision. I said, I need to choose a guy that loves me.
Mm.
And obviously a lot of guys will say they love you, but I knew it. I was like, this is true love. This guy is taking me places.
How did you know? What was that feeling inside?
Do you know what? I could feel it
knew.
Because I loved him so much. I was like a little puppet. You know what? I didn't even know my name at some point. I was like, I'm just in love. But you know what? He loved me back, you know? And I think I loved him so much because he loved me so much. And I knew because I'm a Christian. And the Bible says the man must love the wife. So I was like, I need a man who just loves me. That's it. And I'm going to go a long way. So he was willing to marry me at a very young age. We were 22 when we got... I was 22. He was 27. He's 5 years older than me. So I was like, perfect, why not? So my entire youth I was with him, exploring, having fun, going crazy, and we're still going crazy and still having fun. I always tell him, thank you so much for saving me. How many men would I have been if you did not marry me at such a young age? For me, it's a good thing, and I'm glad because it wasn't like a bad experience. It's a good experience. I had a good experience. I had a friend, I had a lover, I had a buddy, I had you know what? Everything.
Anyhow. And how many years?
We've got to wrap up. Hold up. We've got to wrap up. Because I want to ask this.
Though. Yes, go.
I mean, isn't that amazing that, I mean, there's the hashtag, men are trash.
That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Yeah. No, go.
I was going to say.
You
but
go.
Like-minded presenter.
It's always like where on the side of the scale you stand. But at the same time, you have to take responsibility and choose the right guy.
True.
Because I think at the time
exactly
that you met
it.
Him, he wasn't exactly rolling in a BMW, being the coolest guy.
He used to wear the shiny shirts that used to annoy me.
You know, taking you out to Signature and all that.
We
looked, like, you grew together,
he stayed
right?
in this flat where the I mean, he says this, so I'm going to say it. The cockroaches are like your friends. Like, they follow
they
you.
You.
When you go to the bus, they follow and like, chill.
What do you want?
Can
what do
you
want from
wait?
Our man?
Exactly. That's how bad it was.
Yo,
but
man, I'm rolling up this fatty. You want in?
Yeah. But you know what? I love that he had a vision. I always tell people this joke. I'm like, my husband told me he's going to be a millionaire at 30. He's now 34. He's still not a millionaire. But I believed him because he sold me all of these dreams. And I think it's important for every man to have some sort of dream or vision. Like, where are we going? You might not be where you want to, but where are we going? Where are you taking me?
So he showed you the vision.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you married in. But you know what I like about that? You said he was wearing shiny shirts, he was living in a cockroach infested house, and yet you were
friend.
Like, this is my man.
Yeah. Style,
No. So what I'm saying is, woman sometimes, especially in today's day and age, we want a ready package man. And then you overlook a good man because you're still looking for the, you're like, God would not send me this package.
Yeah. And that's why women get so angry now when they see, when you want to take their man, they're like, you don't know where I come from with this man. You see him now looking good in the three-piece suit shirt.
I helped him.
I helped him get there. Are you crazy?
Did,
you want to take him when he's a finished
heavy
product? No, that ain't gonna work, child. Hell no.
And that's why people say black women are angry. We're not angry, we're just architects.
Woo.
And would you want to
come on now.
Have someone come defame your beautiful house? No, thank you, sir. Bye.
Yeah, but the men must really know where they're going. And when
and
you're going to have a family, it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of work. It takes money. It takes love. It takes care. You need to know the commitment of marriage is not just the hello, bye-bye, today and tomorrow. It's a big commitment and you need to know. So he took it seriously. He knew where he wanted to go. He understood exactly what he's getting himself into. And every man should know that it's a real commitment. You're not going to put this ring on and tomorrow you take it off because you just saw someone who's hotter. There will always be someone hotter, prettier, smarter, you know, but you got to make your pick, choose your pick and stay with it.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay,
thank
we
got
to get out of here. We were supposed to have a chat because we went to the Zondervatta prison the other day and you guys had an amazing talk about how you grew up and especially about your father. And I wanted to just say that you've made a success of yourself in spite of the things that you had to get through growing up. And unfortunately, we really have run out of time.
I know, so but it was such a great show anyway.
It was great having
thank
you
so much.
Great host. Well
and,
done, guys.
I'm going to dedicate this to your husbands, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Here
Bye.
We go. Bye. Cliffcentral.com.